you know, it's not until you actually get up here and have to press all the buttons that you realize, wow, I ask a lot of Nathaniel and whoever else gets up here every Sunday that wants to, people that want to participate in the preaching. So today, I'm supposed to be much taller and much skinnier, and my name is supposed to be Wayne Scott. I'm supposed to be the Vice President of Student Services at a university in Tennessee. But he got sick on Friday on his way to the airport and said, it's not safe for me to travel. And so I'm going to cover for his sermon today. He really wishes he could have been here to meet all of us. Well, all of us he doesn't know. And that happens. With that in mind, we're going to start with a prayer. Our Heavenly and Gracious Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have today to be together. We've had a time to share in your Son's sacrifice and the Lord's Supper. We have an opportunity to study the Bible together. And now you're giving me the opportunity to share the Word. I thank you for this great opportunity and pray that you're with me throughout this lesson. In your Son's name, amen. We're going to talk about strengths and using our strengths for God. And for that, we're going to turn to Matthew 25. I'm going to read it before we get into more material. For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. Then he went on a journey. Immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went, put them to work, and earned 5 more. In the same way, the man with 2 earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went off, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. After a long time, the master of those slaves came and settled accounts with them. The man who had received 5 talents approached, presented 5 more talents, and said, Master, you gave me 5 talents. Look, I've earned 5 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man with 2 talents also approached. He said, Master, you gave me 2 talents. Look, I've earned 2 more talents. His master said to him, Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful over a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Share your master's joy. Then the man who had received 1 talent also approached and said, Master, I know you. You're a difficult man, reaping where you haven't sown and gathering where you haven't scattered seed. So I was afraid and went off and hid your talent in the ground. Look, you have what is yours. But his master replied to him, You evil, lazy slave! If you knew that I reap when I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and when I returned, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But from the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. And throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. We're going to take a second to think back to Wednesdays. We're doing the Strength Finders book. We're going through an entire series of classes to discover each other's strengths. And with that in mind, raise your hand if you know at least one of your weaknesses or more. Keep your hand up if you've known your weakness ever since you were a kid, because when you were in school, they told you what your weakness was. And when you grew up as an adult, they keep on telling you, you're not good at this, get better at it. See, in the past, we focused on improving our weaknesses. We focused a lot on improving our weaknesses, and we hardly ever spent any time working on our strengths. I would like to think that the best of the best don't focus on weaknesses, but they focus on what they're good at. And they use it every day. A good example would be athletes. Picture of Tiger Woods. Not my favorite person in the world. But when it comes to golf, and more specifically, when it comes to the long game, hitting it off the tee, he's the best of the best. He's not so good with putting. If it's within 8 foot, if there's 8 feet there between the hole and the ball, he doesn't do as well as with his long game. And throughout the years, you know what he focused on getting better at? Driving the ball further. And that's exactly what he did. Year after year, he improved his long game to where he would get so far ahead of his opponents, it didn't matter anymore. Using your strengths rather than focusing on your weakness. It's the same thing with Portland roasting. You know, it's very true that Portland roasting has some of the most amazing coffees I've ever tasted. I really enjoy having some coffee that Nathaniel sells me. You know what I've never had? Portland roasting tea. And there's a reason for that. Portland roasting is really, really good at making coffee. So they don't try to make tea. They have other companies that are really, really good at making tea. But they're good with coffee. So they focus on their strength. Coffee. And by the way, I did confirm this with Nathaniel. They do not produce any tea. I was going to put that in my lesson, and I thought, wait a minute. Maybe they do, and I just don't know about it. But no, thank you, Nathaniel, for confirming that. And then Intel's the same way. Intel's really, really good at making computer chips. They're excellent at it. They're so good at it that they don't try to make cell phones. Now, they'll put a chip in a cell phone and make the cell phone work really, really well. But they don't focus on making the whole cell phone. They just focus on what they're good at. I could go on. I could put up Michael Jordan. I almost did. Michael Jordan was amazing at basketball. And there's a reason he stopped after one season of baseball. So my question is, what about us? What if we, as Christians, focused on our strengths instead of our weaknesses and used them to glorify God? The truth is, our strengths are given to us by God. And when I'm talking about strengths, what I'm talking about is the collections of personal qualities, abilities, and talents that enable a person to do certain things very well. Again, think Portland Roasting does coffee, not tea. So I ask myself the big question. What attributes might be considered strengths? So thinking of that, I made a list of 4 things. Talents, abilities, gifts, and skills. Now, when I'm saying talents, I'm talking about something that is natural or an inborn inclination to do certain things really well. When I speak of abilities, I'm talking of abilities that are developed from experience, and they help us to efficiently learn and complete different tasks. With gifts, I'm talking about gifts that are divine, that are given to us to perform specific tasks, and they're combined with our talents and our other strengths. And finally, skills, I'm talking about a specific thinking and behavior patterns that are going to increase effectiveness and efficiency. See, because God did 2 things when he created each and every one of us. First, he created us, and I'm saying each and every one of us in this audience, intentionally. And second, He created us with a very specific purpose. The strengths that God has given us are a part of what will enable us to fulfill His plan for our life, to fulfill His will for us. I can't stop thinking right now about the big picture. We're doing the Strength Finders class, and that's awesome. That's one step. But we need to use our strengths that we are figuring out and apply them to the big picture so that as we have already started growing now, we can grow even more. So let's get back to the text. Starting with verse 14 particularly. For it is just like a man going on a journey. He called his own slaves and turned over his possessions to them. Now here, just to simplify, in case you didn't know, the man who has the slaves is God, and the slaves is every one of us. And if you take that in mind, you realize that our strengths are the possessions of God. They're not my strengths, they're God's strength that He has loaned me. He has called me as His slave and turned over these strengths to me. And it's the same with your strengths. Now, to one, He gave 5 talent, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. In God's eternal wisdom, He didn't say, I'm going to give you everyone all the strengths you could ever think of. He said, no, Nathaniel, I'm going to give you these specific strengths because you really will do well with those and you can handle those. And Mark, I'm going to give you these strengths because you can handle them. He only gives us what we can handle. Now, immediately, the man who had received 5 talents went, put him to work, and earned 5 more. The one who had 2 did the same thing and earned 2 more. But the man who had received 1 talent went and hid the talent in the ground. This teaches me that if we want to grow spiritually, if we want to make our talents into strengths, we have to use what God has given us. We can't just sit still and not use the talent that is God-given. And the big reason for that is the master of the slaves comes back after a long time and he's going to settle accounts. We are going to be held accountable for everything that God gives us. And that includes the strengths that are in our personalities. I'm not going to reread this, but essentially, once the account settling happens, the slave with 5 comes back with 5 more and says, here's what I've done. And the master says, well done. Take part in my joy. Same thing with the one with 2. But the one with 1 talent didn't come up boldly and said, I got you 1 more talent. He came and said, well, I know exactly what type of person you are. And, I was afraid, so I hid what you gave me. But I got it. I still have it for you. See, these 3 people show us one thing about our strengths. How we use our strengths reveal the way we view God. You either fear God and are going to hide away all the strengths and talents that He's given you, or you're going to love God and use your strengths for Him, so that when He comes back, you'll have doubled what He's given you. Because as we see in the rest, if we in verses 26, 28, it said, you evil, lazy slave, if you knew that I reap where I haven't sown and gather where I haven't scattered, then you should have deposited my money with the bankers, and when I return, I would have received my money back with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10. See, if we don't use our strengths, we will lose those strengths. It's not like riding a bicycle. You learn it one time and you know it forever. You've got to practice. You've got to keep working on and become stronger at what you're good at. Keep shooting the ball on the long drive. Keep dunking that ball from the free throw line. Then you'll get shoes named after you. But we will lose our strengths if we don't use our strengths. Because finally, verses 29 and 30, for to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have more than enough. But the one who does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him, and throw this good-for-nothing slave into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. How we use our strengths determine our destiny. So I'm going to go back to the question, what about us here at TBC? What if we all, not just the eldership, not just Nathaniel, Mark, Terry, Melissa, not just a few people, but what if every single one of us used our strength for this church? My encouragement today for all of us is to use the strength that God has given you, whether it's 1, 2, 5, or 15. Use all of your talents and your strengths so we can help this church grow. But not because I want to grow TVC, but because I want to grow the Christ's body itself. I'm tired of being at work sometimes, and my best friend at work doesn't believe God exists. I'm tired of my best friend from college rejecting Christ. We have to use our strength not just for this church, but for Christ. Because last time I checked, we all say that we do love him. The thing is, I have strengths that Amanda does not have. But in the same way, Amanda has strengths that I don't have. Jordan has strengths that Gary does not have. But Gary has strengths that Jordan does not have. So in conclusion, I'd like us to work together so that we, as Christ's body, can glorify God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for all the many talents you have given us. Lord, you have made us into incredible beings, and you have brought us all together here with one purpose in mind, and it's to spread the good news. Lord, I pray that throughout these next few months, as we study our strengths and as we work on being ready to give the big picture, that you see the increase, that your glory is made apparent through our work. Lord, we thank you, and Lord, we love you. In your son's name, amen. Now, I'm not traditionally a guy that does invitations. I think Christ's invitation is much better than mine. But I know that when we talk about strengths and weaknesses, I'm the first person to think about my weaknesses. The joy I have, though, is that my weaknesses are really weak because I have Christ in my life. Because I've taken on Christ through baptism, I can face anything because all my weaknesses are covered. And when I'm not good at something, I can turn to each and every one of the people that are in this audience, and they will carry the burdens that I cannot carry. If you've got some burdens that you feel you cannot carry, or if you're tired of not being part of Christ's body, then our elders are, there's Dale and Ron Jarvis that are here. You can talk to them. Nathaniel's in the back. You can talk to him. You can talk to anybody of us. And whatever you need, we'll be there for you. Let's sing.